Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Well, that's from earlier in the show. By the way, thanks to Mary Kay for having a sense of humor about things.
Yeah, she's great.
And this, because the Super Bowl window two thing, the now movie titles again brought up, starting to sound like Halloween
too. I'm surprised someone in that studio has not made a ChatGPT movie poster yet.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. You just lost me for the rest of the show.
Ah, jeez. Why did you give me the idea?
You know what? I said I was surprised.
We'll let the fans. Let you know what? I'm going to stay away from it. I think the fans can do a better job with their prompts. Into Grok. Sora. Man, what's the other one now where you got
Sora, yeah.
Bill Gates playing football?
Of course.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I just see one where there's a bunch of historical figures on Monday Night Raw.
I saw that as well.
In all of them, yeah.
Like, all of them are up there. I'm like, what is going on here? Okay, so I'm going to start this argument. You're going to be right. I think the Browns, do I dare say I think the Browns are going to win on Sunday?
We have a prediction brewing.
Do I dare say I think the Browns are going to win on Sunday?
Say.
Vegas agrees.
All right, I'm not going to say it. Not saying it yet. If the Browns win on Sunday, I don't think that they can win looking good.
Huh.
I think it's going to be an ugly game. Yeah. You think they're going to look good if they
win? You've seen the Dolphins scores this year. They're all in the 20s.
Yeah. Well, so the Dolphins are going to score a lot of points, you're saying, against our defense?
The league is designed.
I'm glad I didn't just predict a win, because now it sounds like you're going to say we're going to get outgunned because we can't score over 18 points a game. Now the total's down to 18.
Obviously, I do believe in our defense, but it's just tough to hold up, and they were pretty disparaged last week. And I don't know, there's more tape on them too. So, you know, Pittsburgh was able to run the ball against us, and it was not a great day for the rookies. So
they threw to a 300-pound tight end.
Who seemed to just
multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Not that every team has that personnel, but it's just tough to hold everybody to under 20 points too.
Okay. Well, it seems to be pretty easy to hold us to under 20 points some way, somehow. So we get in our own way as well. So I'm obviously not going to predict a victory. So if they do win, you end up being right. I will be happy that they just won and I get to breathe the sweet breath of victory for 1 week again. And you're going to end up being right. I guarantee you the first call of the box, if they win, because I said just win 16-6, right? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
They scored 8 points in their huge loss on opening day against the Indianapolis Colts. But say they won 17-16. All right. Say they actually held. It's not hard. It's a good defense, so it shouldn't be that crazy. But say they hold the Dolphins to 16 points and they win the game 17-16. I'm sure the first call out of the box is going to be to fire Kevin Stefanski, and they're not going to be thrilled. You're going to end up being right.
I don't want you to base it on
points,
that, though.
No, this is where the argument goes to hell, because style points shouldn't count, but style points count to the fans. Guys, we've been taking calls all week about firing the coach. I started the show today where Like, I was not mad at Ross Tucker. I disagreed with Ross Tucker. I think he's going to see a clip on the internet and probably not like me. But either way, I disagreed with what Ross Tucker said yesterday on Afternoon Drive. And I'm thinking, man, like, all we got to do is win. But at the same time, that's an impossible thing to do. And I said, I don't have faith that they're going to be able to do it anymore. So you've taken 4 days of fire the coach calls. These people are all going to call in next week. They're going to change their opinion on one game. They're not going to say that Kevin saved after one game. So I can't. I'm going to tell you that I think you're wrong and the rest of you guys are wrong. And I end up losing the argument. How you like that? I ain't going to win that argument. Style points matter to fans. They do. They beat the Buffalo Bills years ago with Freddie Kitchens. Josh Allen threw the ball like hell. The offense for them was all over the place, scattershot. The Browns ended up beating the Bills. First call of the box, fire Freddie Kitchens. Style points matter to you guys. They shouldn't in so many ways, but they do because you guys are thinking big picture. And I could use the old Nick Saban argument if I want to, but I'm not because it goes against what I want to say or what I think and how I feel.
I don't know, in a weird way, you're saying style points, but I almost think fans would just feel better if the offense looked good, win or lose. If the offense put up...
So if we lost 40-39...
Yeah, I think fans would feel way better. They might not feel great about Stefanski, but they'll feel better about Dylan Gabriel. They'll feel better about Jerry Jeudy, Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin, everybody. I think they would feel much better about them. We already know, like, if perfectly engaged, like, the defense is fine. The defense has a terrible week this week. It's not cut everybody, no. Get rid of everybody.
But offensively,
until the offense looks good... This is going to feel hopeless because you can't, in this day and age in the NFL, not have an offense.
So you have a top-ranked defense, and if that defense gives up over 30 points and you lose a game, like say you score, let's say you lose 35-34, you're telling me you have a top-ranked defense in the NFL and you give up 35 points to a 1-5 football team, people are going to feel good about this, feel better. Even in a loss, they'll feel better.
I think there is an acknowledgement right now. That the league is set up for offenses to play well. Like, I didn't even see people killing their defense last week other than, you know, they wanted Myles Garrett to perform.
They were so mad at the offense.
That's what I'm saying.
By the way, they were getting gashed there for a minute.
They were. But if the offense played well, I do think you can start. It only takes a game for people to get optimistic again. And if the offense played well and Dylan Gabriel actually showed he can play at a higher level than what we've seen the first two games, you don't think that would excite people?
No, I would come in here and go, whose ass do I have to kiss to get a complete football team around here?
Well, you don't have
that. I don't know why you thought we had a complete football team at any point.
So
obviously I'm not going to be happy. You just made my argument for me. I'm not going to be happy because the moment my offense plays good, my defense all of a sudden gives up 35 points. No, that's not how that works. They want to win. So there's no, hey, listen, I think style points matter. So if you go out there and you win 16-15, yeah, I think you're going to be right. Style points matter to the fans. The fans are still going to be, like, they're happy that they won, but they are not going to be satisfied. There's going to be no satisfaction.
No,
they're going to be angry.
I didn't say satisfied. I think, guys, the season's over. There's going to be no satisfaction in anything that happens overwhelmingly the rest of the year. But you do look for little things with personnel. You look for things with your young players. And if Dylan Gabriel throws for 300 yards this week.
So we're in moral victory land.
I don't even know if that's a moral victory. It's, hey, we're not playing the best teams in the league. And finally, we had a normal offensive performance and maybe even better than average. I think fans would be like, hey, maybe it just took some time. Maybe now, all right, combine that with the schedule. Maybe Stefanski can make some adjustments. Yes, I think that would matter to fans.
No, if you just score
14 points again, it's going to be like, get rid of everybody.
You just lost to a 1-5 football team. That's what you did. Like, if they were playing the Chiefs
and lost
35-34. I know that, but if you were playing the Chiefs and lost 35-34, I could see that. It's the Dolphins. They're terrible this year. They're fighting each other. Tua had to apologize for his opinions after the game just yesterday. You give up 35 points to that team and you lose? Oh, our offense played good. I mean, good God, that's some sad sack start. Sorry, stuff right there, Tone.
Yeah, welcome to Browns football after the Deshaun Watson trade.
216-474. Yeah. Hey, I'm the one who told you about Browns prison, and I understand we're fighting right now for ramen noodles, but here we are. Soups, as I'm told they're called. 216-474-0092. Is it just enough for the offense to play well? Is that where we're at right now? If I'm mad that they lose on Sunday, on Monday morning, will you tell me to shut up if the offense plays well?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Here it comes, everybody. The 1-5 bowl. The hot seat bowl. What do you want to call it?
Staying alive bowl. I'll be an optimist. It's half full.
There you go.
That's
optimist Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. It's the 1-5 Miami Dolphins coming to town to take on the 1-5 Cleveland Browns. What more can we say about that one, Andy?
How many guys are going to be around the next week if you lose? How's that sound?
Well, now is that a question? And that's one of the things I'm wondering here. The Browns are struggling. We know that. It's not been good. We also know that the Miami Dolphins have been an absolute mess, and that's been a disaster for them. And Mike McDaniel is... Tua's talking. Tua comes back out and says, my bad, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it
this
help.
Isn't good, blah, blah, blah. These are two franchises that are not in good spaces right now. Is that diplomatically okay?
I think that is a fair assessment of the situation that is going on in said situation.
Fox Sports has a story out. NFL head coach hot seat ranking. One is already down, so who's next? Who's next? Brian Callahan was number one on their list. Who's number one now? Mike McDaniel, Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
He was number two until Callahan got fired. Who's number two on the list?
Aaron Glenn or somebody we might know?
Moving up from number five with a bullet. Number two is Kevin Stefanski.
Oi.
There's the possibility that whichever team loses this game this week loses its head coach. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's
I think it's legit? A storyline. I don't necessarily believe that that's 100% true for Kevin Stefanski. I just don't believe it. Guys, tell me. I mean, we listen to Kevin all the time. Does he just sound a little bit, I don't know if it's frustrated or if it's just a little bit off or a little bit... You know, and then you get Mike Tomlin saying what he said last week. So now is his coach defending coach? You know, you look. In a normal NFL situation, which is abnormal to begin with, if you're in Kevin Stefanski, the seat is on fire. Your pants are on fire. I just don't know if that's necessarily the situation here in Cleveland.
Here's what Fox says about Kevin's situation. Says he has the cover of having a young quarterback and maybe two to develop the rest of the season. If he does that, it could save his job. First of all, you buy that?
Not if he was all in on Gabriel and said, this kid is the answer. And he was willing to put, although if this kid was the answer, they would have drafted him in the first round. So if he, you know, it's one of those situations where you have a great meeting of the minds, of two minds or, group thought or whatever you want to call it, and they all get together in a room and someone says, well, are you willing to put your job on the line for this guy if we're going to draft him? I don't know if that's exactly what he did for Gabriel, but I kind of feel that way a little bit, or that he trusts Gabriel in this situation. I mean, after all, Joe was still on the roster when they made the decision to switch. I don't know that Kevin was prepared for the fact that Joe wasn't going to be on the roster at all the next week, But someone had to make the switch, and at the end of the day, that has to come down to the head coach.
Then it continues. So it said if he can develop the quarterback, it could save his job. Only problem is his team is terrible. And his quarterback currently, Dylan Gabriel, has no support. I agree with that completely. I don't think much of the talent on the offense. Then now here's where this gets interesting to me, Andy. You tell me.
Okay.
It says, making matters worse, GM Andrew Berry seems poised to sell off the Browns' remaining attractive assets, whether Stefanski wants to clean house or not.
And that's dysfunction, if that's true.
Is that dysfunction, or is that actually trying to move things forward?
Well, if you're of one mind, you've got one mind going to the right and one going to the left.
Yeah, well, here, to follow that up.
This is lobotomy.
Fox continues, oh, and Barry is probably on a pretty hot seat, too, due to the 41-49 record the GM and coach share in five-plus seasons, plus a lot of questionable quarterback-related moves. Hard to argue with that. But then again, the whole, we all know the premise, who's behind all those quarterback moves. We know that, so we don't even touch it here. But the last line here, this is what I want, this is what I want to pick your brain on.
Okay.
And this is from Fox, Kevin Stefanski, number two on the coaching hot seat. The best way for Andrew Berry to save his own job might be to throw his coach under the bus. We've always thought this is a package deal. Do you still think it's a package deal?
I did up until 2 weeks ago. I did up until the Flacco trade. I absolutely thought it was a package deal.
What made you think the Flacco trade was not part of the package
deal? Because I just don't think, and again, this is all hunch. This is all, you know, gut feeling. There's no analytics behind this. I just kind of feel like if you're a head coach and you're in this situation, you better have a lot of job security if you're going to get rid of two veteran quarterbacks in favor of two rookie quarterbacks.
By week five.
Yeah. And so, like, I can't. If I'm Kevin, I want somebody I know I can trust that has experience. And he might trust Gabriel. Hey, you know what? He could maybe even trust Sanders. I don't know if that's a fact, but.
We don't know because he's not up yet.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he might, but there's nothing more reassuring than knowing you have a veteran that can execute the plays that you want to be called. I thought it was interesting. You know, you looked at the Fox article. I saw the CBS article on this. And CBS's last line is, the Browns team is a quarterback away from being competitive, but will Stefanski be around long enough to get that chance? Now, that's within the story. And then the final line is, if the Browns move on, Stefanski will get another head coaching job somewhere. This mess isn't on him. That's CBS.
And CBS, is it a hot seat ranking?
Jeff Kerr wrote this, three days ago.
See, there's the catch here.
It's a hot seat ranking. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And Kevin's number what?
Three. He's number three on that list. McDaniels was one. Aaron Glenn was two. That's why I brought him up.
See, this is, and I'm real curious. Do you think that the coach that loses this game loses his job? I think it's a possibility. I really do.
You could have that scenario two out of the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
And the guy in the middle was a guy that was in the building last year. Whether you thought he was ever going to coach here or not is irrelevant. And in fact, I thought it was pretty ambitious of Kevin to be so cool with Mike Vrabel being in the building last year that I respect Kevin for that. I know there's a lot of people that are on edge. They don't like what Kevin's doing, but I respect the fact that he was okay with his own shadow last year, that he could have a guy like Mike Vrabel in the building and still feel like he could coach to his fullest extent. Use him as a resource.
I would agree with you on that.
It's not an easy choice. I'm sure if I was, I'd be like, I don't know, because there are a lot of paranoid coaches in the NFL.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that or not.
You think so?
No, but Kevin's comfortable in his own skin. Although I will say this, comfortable is a word I wouldn't use to describe him the last 2 weeks. And, you know, you look at inefficiencies in wide receiver play, inconsistency on the offensive line, maybe perhaps his own play calling that he was second-guessing afterwards. You know, all of those things can lead to shaky leadership. And in the NFL, you have to have an iron constitution, so you got to keep going.
One thing I do think here, Andy, take a look at our team. We've got to see some better things this week.
We've got to see better offense. Well, and can we have one game where the special teams just is like a referee, just part of the woodwork?
Yeah,
they do exactly what they're supposed to do and then get out of there.
The level of competition this week is a step down from what we've seen in the first 6 weeks. And you could make the argument they should have, could have, would have won a game or two. Fine. You could make the argument they shouldn't have won Green Bay. Fine. I personally think they should probably be 2-4 right now. And the games they should have won were Cincinnati and Minnesota, and I still don't think they should have won the Green Bay game. Good for them. I'm glad they did. But I just think it's time to start. And Dylan Gabriel, okay, still a rookie quarterback and all that stuff. It's time for the offense to look better. And that's not on Dylan. That's on the coaching staff. That's on the front office. It's on everybody. These are the players that the front office gave the coaching staff to work with. So it needs to look better. And if it doesn't look better, it's not just on the coaching staff. It's not just on the head coach. It's on the front office too. And it's time for this thing to start to look better. You know, you see you have a running game. You see you have an offensive line that can run block. All right, so play to your strength, right? You gave Jerry Jeudy a lot of money to play. Okay, well, let's see him hang on to the football. Let's see you scheme him open and get him the ball where he can do something with it. And then let's see him hold up his end of the deal and make some plays. Let's see somebody else at wide receiver step up, because you didn't think you needed anybody else at wide receiver. You thought this group was good to go. Fine. Well, let's see it. It's time to see some of this stuff. And if you don't see it against a 1-5 team, Andy, when are you going to see it?
I don't know. Well, you're not. And that's why I think your original premise is, do we have a coach playing for his job this week, is a legitimate question.
And I can make the argument you have a front office playing for their jobs, too.
This week?
It's tough to make that move in the season, you know, who you're going to bring in and all that stuff. But, Andy, this is, you know, you started poorly last year. You finished poorly last year. You're starting poorly now. I mean, that's a year and a half. Yeah, we know the Deshaun Watson thing didn't work. Fine, move past it. It's up to you guys to figure it out.
Here's what makes me think that the front office is okay and that Kevin's okay. Normally, in these kind of situations where you're looking at the, you know, one-win team at this point in the season, you hear rumblings from someone national that ownership has reached out somewhere, somehow, that there are phone calls being made behind. Have you read anything like that?
No,
I haven't heard anything like that. And by the way, they've done a pretty good job over the last couple of years of tightening up the information that comes out of Berea.
In Tennessee, Callahan lost his play-calling duties as head coach. He said he gave them up. The reports are now that ownership told him to give it up.
Right.
We haven't seen stuff like that. You're right.
You're not hearing any of that, which makes me think, guys, I mean, you could be – this thing could run all the way to 1-16 and then reassess at the end of the season. I'm just saying, because we're not hearing stories like that. You normally would hear – hey, there's some inner workings here, something's not right, and you can catch every once in a while what someone says. By the way, where is Andrew Berry? Like, why have we not heard from him? He's made a bunch of trades. Any other team in town, if they make a trade, general manager steps out and talks about the trade. I'm a little confused on that.
According to Fox Sports, it's number one against number two. It's the hot seat poll, which, of course, in some really expensive homes, a hot seat bowl might not be a bad thing.
Oh, especially where it's cold.
Exactly. Yeah. So that might be a good thing. In this case, I don't think it is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Yeah. 2 or 3 weeks ago, they said, hey, is Kevin on the hot seat? And I said, no, no way. I said, he and Andrew Berrios, they're good. They're on lock. Then they traded Flacco. And Stefanski comes out, and I'll never forget listening to that press conference. And I was texting the guys, I'm like, you listening to us right now? Like, he put it on Andrew. Like, he was like, look, I trust Andrew. It's like, he kept saying it like over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, I know Kevin did not want to create an environment where he had this veteran quarterback and who he wanted to continue starting. But at the very least, if he wasn't going to start him and he had a rookie starting, he wanted to make sure he had the veteran in the number two position, the support role. And then now that guy's playing for the Bengals. And, you know, you could tell, I'm like, this feels like there's a tiny bit of separation now between the head coach and the general manager. And since that press conference, I'm kind of like, yeah, this feels different. You know, this feels like Kevin's, there's a little bit of a gap there.
That is Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports talking about the potential friction in Cleveland between Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. The question that I had based off what we heard, and obviously we also heard Charles, and again, that was from 102.5, the game in Nashville. He also said he thinks Kevin Stefanski could be like Baker Mayfield, be more successful away from Cleveland. He also said that he didn't really expect Kevin Stefanski to end up in Nashville anytime soon here.
Which does sound like somebody that if you were close to Kevin Stefanski, you might say.
To drive a hard bargain?
No. The first part about him being successful in other places.
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
What I'm trying to do over the next, like, I don't know, couple months is just find out who's in whose camp out of all these different media sources. And one thing that I love is that around this time of the year and when names start being dropped around, you can really find out who's doing the bidding for different people in certain areas. And especially when they start throwing really obscure, like names you don't know into the mix. They tell on themselves. You get it once a year where the reporters and everyone just kind of tell on themselves and who their sources are. And that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to pick it up here. Like that sounded like somebody that talks to Stefanski more than it sounds like somebody that talks to Andrew Berry.
Are you surprised that the cracks have shown at 1-5 before we even got out of the 6-game?
No, because 1-5 is awful. 1-5 is about the right spot where it should be. Now, again, I guess we're differentiating between the cracks showing. Am I surprised that Stefanski and Berry ever got to a spot where they would seem like they're not copacetic and they're not simpatico? Yeah, a little surprise there. I thought they were going to go down with the ship together.
See, I'm actually the reverse. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised because it's the NFL. And the NFL, at some point, especially with a owner who might be a little bit impetuous, might be somebody that, you know, hovers a little bit, it makes sense that at some point there's going to be cracks in that relationship. I am surprised at 1-6, though, because I think they should have expected they were coming out of the first 6 weeks with not a great record. And it feels like to me this is fast-tracked. It feels like to me now it becomes, could this thing fall apart? Like, I have been staunch. Don't fire Kevin Stefanski before the end of the regular season. And I'm talking about like the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. If it's like week 16, you want to get a jump start on it, okay, do what you got to do. But like, I wouldn't fire him before the bye. I wouldn't fire him at the bye. Like, I would just let him coach and see if he can coach his way out of that. I think he's earned that right through five plus years here. And I don't need to see Bubba Ventrone or Tommy Rees or the running backs coach as the or Chad O'Shea.
Yeah, but how you start losing that, Nick, is that if you start doing things like you did a couple Tuesdays ago, where you start being like, oh, that's Andrew's to answer, that's Andrew's to answer, and you stop being the good soldier. This entire time he's been the good soldier. You stop doing that, and it might give him the incentive to say, okay, we're cutting this thing off early.
I also think you maybe don't get that benefit of the doubt if you're going to throw in, or drop back your quarterback 58 times.
Yes.
And then specifically if that quarterback is Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders and not the guy you started the season with.
Although I still do think he got the main objective done, which I don't think... Yes, exactly. I don't think coaches and players ever just say, I'm going to lose and do that. And so I just don't think Stefanski enters a game believing that. But he did get what the front office, I think, once accomplished. They want the best draft pick imaginable.
I find it really hard after how awful 1-31 is. I'm really hard pressed to believe they would go back to, because what you're describing this early is tanking. I don't think they're tanking. I think there's a difference between we're making moves, evaluating young guys,
and but while still trying to be competitive. Tanking to me is, man, I really hope we get beat by three scores this weekend.
Yeah, but
I don't think Kevin will ever go for that. And I don't
no,
think
I don't think
will.
Kevin will, but I think Andrew will. And I think Andrew has shown you that he thinks differently. He operates differently than most people. You ask Mike Tomlin, he never thought that he'd trade a quarterback that he believed in to start week one and week five. But here we are, because Andrew Berry thought he could get a little bit of value there.
Could this fall apart quicker than we realized?
I think it's starting to. I think that's it. I think like the cracks are here. I think the idea that Stefanski's publicly getting as many people in his corner and lining up the conversations the way that they're lining them up, I don't think this stuff is an accident. And but the part that is surprising to me and the part that's really interesting to me is that I just didn't think Bert and Ernie would have a breakup like this. And it feels like as of right now, Andrew Berry, no one's coming out in defense of Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry seems like he thinks that he's fine and he's set. It's the Stefanski supporters and through the media, the Stefanski people that are feeling the need to go ahead and back their guy. And I understand why. When Bruce Arians comes out and speaks the way that he does, clearly Kevin felt like he needed the backing of some of his media brethren and friends. And here we are. It's interesting. I mean, you got to be eating this stuff up.
216-474-0092. The question here is this thing falling apart quicker than you thought it would? I'll just continue to go back to if the answer is yes, if this is happening in real time and we're maybe 3 weeks away from something happening, like I think it feels so foreign to me that Kevin could lose this game on Sunday and be out of a job on Monday. 1-6 in this season. I just don't think that's where we are. Unless you just think he's not giving the offense a chance to win and that's his job, so we're going to go in a different direction. Even then, it's like, it can still get worse. You bench Joe because you had to get the offense better. This last week was your worst week of offense all season long. But I think it becomes really interesting because I think what it confirms is they knew they might be 1-5. I think this 1-5 is even uglier than they anticipated. I think they thought 1-5 is going to be because we're playing Pittsburgh, we're playing Cincy, we're playing Baltimore, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, right? I think they're surprised at how, I mean, it just looks like you're not well coached. When you have penalties, mm-hmm. when you have all the mental miscues, drops, all these things.
Or just not competitive.
And
they look lifeless.
Yes, you're not competing your way out of these games as opposed to, man, those teams are just that good.
Now, I don't know. Maybe inside that building, though, Nick, maybe they're holding on to the hope that the schedule looks so much easier. It's something that I've been saying for 2 weeks now. Ross Tucker seems to have adopted it as well. Like the idea that if you look at the schedule, you're playing a lot of the teams that we also describe as lifeless, as zombies out in the field, as not looking like they have anything. The Raiders, the Titans, this week against the Dolphins. You're playing some of the worst in the NFL. So maybe they're just hanging on to that. But
can it all be shattered this week?
Well, yeah,
Can't this be the illusion shatterer?
If you lose to the Dolphins, that means you're not, like, if you're trying to figure out are they a decent team that is just getting beaten by good teams, or are they just a flat out bad team? And if you lose to the Dolphins, you're just a flat out bad team. You can't even disguise yourself that you're middle of the pack that just had a tough schedule.
So this then brings us to what Alex Boone, former Ohio State offensive lineman, I think what 8, 9, 10 year career in the NFL as a guard, what he had to say on Baskin and Phelps. And I really thought, one, I thought he knocked it out of the park. I think there were a lot of Browns fans listening to Alex Boone today, shaking their head and saying, absolutely, that's exactly what we're talking about. But he talked about this game plan this last weekend and forcing Dylan Gabriel to throw 50-plus times and how the Browns and Kevin Stefanski need to flip the script.
I'm more like, hey, why don't we run the ball 52 times a game and throw it 12 times a game? Why don't we just reverse this whole theory and we see who really wants to play? Let's become the Lions for a little bit. Let's go out and punch everybody in the mouth and go, yeah, we're still here and we're just having fun now, right? Like, we're like the track team up the street. We're just here to have fun, punch you in the mouth and see how much you want to play, because you probably thought we were asleep and dead, but now we're not. We're awake. That's how Kevin's going to get this team back. If you can't run the ball, you don't belong in this league. right? That's why you should always be able to fall back on your fundamentals. Hey, this game gets hard, we're going to kick it to Duo. Why? Because Duo involves all of us punching all of them in the face. And then in the next series, we're going to do a fake Duo go-go, double dancer, right? Like, we're going to just pretend to hit the Duo. All these linebackers are going to be like, they're not going to punch us in the mouth this time. And then all of a sudden, there goes Jerry Jeudy right down the field, right? Or there goes Njoku. Watch this. Watch Petonio coming down here, smacking you in the face. You'll start stepping back up. It's a cat and mouse game. You just have to always be the cat and never the mouse.
I very rarely ever say this kind of thing when I hear somebody. I can always find where I agree with somebody and where I disagree with them. There isn't a single thing that Alex Boone said with Jeff and Andy today. In that clip, there was not a single thing that I disagreed with. And what he's speaking to is, get that identity. Let that be your identity. You don't have to do this for the end of time, but for this year, allow power, allow physicality to run out. And by the way, you got an incredibly physical running back. That, to me, is what Sunday also represents.
I mean, Jared Goff still throws the ball 30 times a game, though. That's maybe where he lost me a little bit. Like, I like the idea of the Lions, but they do use a passing attempt. They use a passing game. I guess maybe I wanted a different team for him to maybe choose the identity with.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the sentiment is right. The sentiment is, like, your best offensive weapon is Judkins. You're going to have to be a running team if you're going to try to win these games. This is actually goes in Coach Riz's favor. Remember 2 weeks ago we did the discussion with the Vikings game about what was supposed to happen with the 3rd-and-11 pass in that whole series?
Mm-hmm.
Coach Riz was like, he loved the first and the second down play because both of them involved Judkins. And at least in that instance, you're going down with the ship. You're going down with the guy that you're supposed to be going down with. And for that, he thought the plays were, I mean, the result wasn't great, but it was the right idea. And I'm all right with that line of thinking. And I think that's maybe what Boone is trying to get to, that line of thinking. But it is embarrassing, Nick, that if you look up pass attempts in the NFL so far this year, the Browns are number one with a bullet. I mean, it's number one, and it's not even close for number two. And there's a whole list before you get to number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 from how far behind they are.
I think Kevin would say, well, we've had a couple games we haven't run the ball well, so we've supplemented that with the short pass game. I understood that when Quinshon Judkins was not available in the Cincinnati game. I honestly, the first game or two that Quinshon was here, and you were talking, you know, 8 carries here, maybe 12 carries here, I understood it. After the Minnesota game, there's just no excuse. And this is like, Kevin has screamed. I didn't scream because he's the most low-key dude in the world.
He has softly told everyone.
Softly but firmly told everyone. Nay, whispered that he, you know, we've adapted our offense each year that we've been here. We've changed. You have to adapt in the offense in the NFL. And for a long time, I never saw him truly adapt in a big picture. And then when they did adapt, it was to the spread offense, and it was the biggest failure ever. So now you're going back to the offense you used to run, but now you're not committing to it. Yeah, you're still stuck on that. It's like playing Madden. Like, why run? Why play ball control, run 30 times in a Madden game if I can throw 50 times and throw for 500 yards? Well, because this isn't Madden. And I know Kevin knows that, but there's something that switches in certain games, and Pittsburgh was like this, where he just gets it in his dome. The run game's not working. And he's got the quickest bail on that, but he never circles back to it.
Well, so
that's what's crazy. If the pass game isn't working, he doesn't bail on it.
No, he just in his head, he just thinks it's not working today and it's gone. It's like at the half, Judkins had 6 carries for 12 yards. And you looked at it, and there's not many people that can make a case they were running the ball particularly well. It was 15 carries for 35 yards through the first 3 series, and Judkins himself was not looking good, as I just said previously. But, that doesn't mean you abandon it. It's a 9-3 game. Like, the recipe is there.
Yep.
And at many turns, you have to continue to go back to it. But it's amazing. When we got Stefanski here, I remember so many people in Minnesota, they just kept telling us how the run game is how he basically got that job with the Browns. Like, if you look at what he did in Minnesota, it was all the run game. And in many ways, you decide, all right, fine. Dalvin Cook was the man in the 1 year that he was an offensive coordinator. Dalvin Cook was it, and Dalvin Cook was awesome. And then he gets Nick Chubb here, and it just felt like life was on easy street for him. And now he's got to try to find a way to just get back to that. Have the understood awesome back in Dalvin Cook, in Nick Chubb, and now Quinshon, and erase what you had to do for the previous 2 years where you didn't know what you could rely on with the running back situation.
Alex Boone, former Ohio State offensive lineman, longtime NFL offensive lineman, saying the Browns need to commit to the run, and it's less an identity. I hate the idea. I know identity is the most overused thing in football. It's not even identity. It's a mentality. And you don't have a good mentality right now. You've got the, oh crap, here it comes mentality. You've got bracing for the punch. I think Kevin thinks about the run game and the importance in winning games like Sunday against Pittsburgh. And I think he just attacks it from the wrong angle. 216-474-0092, which brings us to this next Sunday. The question is, what will Kevin Stefanski try to accomplish on Sunday? More from you guys in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Kenny, thank you for the notes.
You're welcome.
Did you know that the Browns have gone 34 straight games without allowing a 300-yard passer? And if you're wondering out loud, yes, that is the longest active streak in the NFL.
Hell yeah.
Did you know that Joel Bitonio, one game away from passing some guy named Joe Thomas for 11th most games played in franchise history?
It's 11 games away?
No, one game away.
He's one game away. Sorry, I got the ones.
So tied currently.
From pay, yeah.
Wow.
167.
The most in franchise history.
11th, no, 11th most.
Oh, this is fun.
I got the ones in the...
Which part of the sentence are you listening to?
Did you know?
The second half.
I'm listening to that part.
With one and a half sacks, Miles Garrett will pass Derek Thomas for fifth most sacks by a player in their first nine games.
Yeah, we're comparing him to Derek Thomas. See?
And the most?
See?
Was that the 30th most?
It's a lot.
Is that franchise history?
Now when?
Derek Thomas was never on
the Browns.
He was never on the Browns.
Yeah.
Is this baseball? Let's go to the fan hotline. Aditi Kickabwala joins us this morning on the fan hotline. Aditi Kickabwala from CBS Sports. She'll be on the call with Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta. Hello, Aditi.
Good morning, my friends. How are you guys?
You got your poncho. It's going to rain on Sunday.
Of course it is. I'm coming to Cleveland. What else would it do?
So you're telling me you bring bad weather?
I think that Cleveland just likes to greet me with bad weather.
Well, could be worse. You'd be bringing pestilence or something like that. So, I mean, it's okay. Aditi, all right. You want to ask her about style points? Because I got to wrap my head around this.
Oh, yeah. I was
for Browns fans, Aditi. For Browns fans.
We're having a conversation here about, you know, just how desperately they need a win. And we were talking about how, well, if you are done with this regime, if you're done with this coach, then not only do you not want to see him win, I mean, it hurts you in the draft. It keeps your coach around. Like Penn State fans were hoping that James Franklin would lose. They'd get rid of him, and they got the job done. Mission accomplished. So Ken said, I don't care how they win. Win with 17 points, just get it done. And I said, well, that won't get anybody off the back of Kevin Stefanski because that still looks like your offense sucks. He's an offensive coach. So Ken was struggling to understand how style could mean anything on a team this bad.
Okay, so first of all, yes, coaching is about getting the most out of the players that you have, for sure. But you also have to look at the players that you have and whether you can push a player to perform to a certain point. And sometimes you just can't because those players can't perform anymore or never performed or there isn't enough talent or depth. So it's not fair to only saddle the coach, I think, with just like with a scoring output that you don't love. The same way that I think it's very difficult to saddle only the quarterback with that. Football is about a lot of different pieces. All I can say here is that I've never met a player that was cool with the idea of tanking. I mean, I remember last year we had the Bills-Patriots game, week 18, and the Patriots threw out Joe Milton. Is that his name? Is that what his name is? Joe Milton, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Josh Allen took one snap for the Bills, and Patriots fans certainly didn't care if the Patriots were going to win because they wanted that higher draft pick. But I stood there on that sideline, and the way that those guys fought and the way that Joe Milton was fighting for a job, whether it would be with that club or with another club, and the Patriots did win that game. And so everybody knew Gerard Mayo was getting fired. He was indeed. I mean, he knew he was getting fired during the game. You could see what his demeanor was. You know the fans wanted a draft pick, but those men that are out there, these are their livelihoods. This is their career. This is their opportunity. And many of them know they may never get another chance again because it might be a team doesn't sign them. It might be that they get hurt. I have a really hard time saying, okay, I'm going to root for human beings to lose. I'm going to root for human beings to suck. That just feels a little weird to me.
Aditi Kingabwala joining us here on the show. What do you think that Dylan Gabriel does really, really, really well? Not that he's terrible, but what do you think that he does really well?
I think he's smart. I think he goes through his progressions. I think that he learned not to force a bad ball. We saw that in the preseason, obviously, in Philadelphia. And I think that he's getting better. I think that each week he's taking something and applying it and getting a little bit better.
How much time?
We haven't seen the arm yet. We haven't seen the explosion. But I don't know. I'll tell you why. I asked Jerry Jeudy about that yesterday. And he was like, it's not that he doesn't have the arm. He's like, those plays haven't been there. And why is he going to force that? He's like, you can't force it if they haven't been there. So if that is indeed the case, and I have no reason not to believe Jerry, then I appreciate that.
Well, that's interesting. I like that Jerry Jeudy's not throwing him under the bus. We were wondering how, you know, Jeudy was going to feel about everything involved, considering he's had the bad dropsies again. It's been the second straight year of him dropping a ton of balls. He was productive last year. He hasn't really had a chance to be all that productive, considering the offensive struggles in general. So that's good to hear. At the same time, that's basically saying that, you know, the offensive line can't hold up long enough for these routes to even develop for him to have a chance to throw the football.
I mean, are you seeing something different when you watch the line play?
No, it's been really dreadful.
Which is exactly what I was saying at the top, that it's not fair. Yes, drops are one thing, but it's not fair to sit here and say, oh, well, Jerry Jeudy isn't producing. Oh, this run game isn't doing that. Oh, this head coach can't design an offense that's a little bit more dynamic, when there's a lot more to it. I mean, quite frankly, the line play has been really disappointing. Coming into the year, I thought, okay, you've got all these veterans who have been together for a long time. This is what the magic of a seasoned offensive line is, that they all know each other so well, that chemistry is there, and that it hasn't happened is obviously disappointing.
Aditi Kingabwala joining us from CBS Sports. For Kevin and his staff, you know, it's turned up. Heat's turned up with media. Heat's turned up with the fan base. Do you believe that everybody's still on stable footing within the organization?
And I can't answer that. I'm coming in this weekend, right? So I haven't been around anybody in 5 or 6 weeks. I also think that I can't answer that. I'll be really honest here. I need to ask and have the conversation, because if I go with my gut, I think that I am such a hopeful and optimistic person that I don't like to speculate in that way. And I'll tell you, I was on the sideline for the Titans Cardinals game, and I was so impressed. Yes, the Cardinals gave away that game. Surely you saw the fumble at the goal line, all sorts of an interception that was dropped, and then the Titans then fell on in the end zone. There were crazy things. But I can tell you that Titans team fought that entire game. No one hung their head. The way Jeffrey Simmons, or that rookie quarterback Cam Ward, was going up and down the sideline talking to their teammates. So I didn't feel that this was a team that had quit on Brian Callahan. And it made me think of when the Lions at one point were 4-19-1 under Dan Campbell. And then all of a sudden it clicked. And so I thought Brian Callahan might get a little bit more time, because that is a roster that is devoid of true depth, and they were fighting. And guess what, guys? I was totally wrong. A week later, he was fired. So I think that until I am actually around and having those conversations with people and getting a better sense of what the sideline is, what the effort is, what the players are doing, I can't speculate. I can't tell you that.
All right, Aditi, obviously you're going to have great perspective on this, because you know all the figures involved. But what did you make of Mike Tomlin talking about Andrew Berry after the Joe Flacco decision?
I thought it was really funny, quite frankly. I think that part of sports is tweaking your rivals a little bit. He'd just beaten one, and so he did that again. I think that it was a show of respect for Joe Flacco. Flacco's won more games against the Steelers than, or he is in a group of quarterbacks. I think it's a group of three who've won the most games against the Steelers since the merger. We heard him just a few weeks ago. We heard Tomlin just a few weeks ago say that he had told his team, keep Anthony Richardson upright because we don't want Flacco in the game. And what happened? Flacco came in the game and beat the Steelers. Obviously, Mike Tomlin's a little bit peeved that he's facing Joe Flacco instead of Jake Browning. Obviously, he doesn't think that anybody in the division should help anybody else in the division. And I think perhaps it was something nice towards Kevin Stefanski, because Kevin Stefanski sure can't say that. So he's, I don't know how to say, I don't want to say that he's throwing them a bone, but maybe he's, someone in the organization said to me, someone who's been in football for a long time said to me that he read it as Mike Tomlin sticking up for Kevin Stefanski. I see it more as he's annoyed he's not getting ready for Jake Browning. But I mean, this is part of what's fun, right? Like
Aditi,
as if the trash talk and the bulletin board stuff used to be a bigger deal.
I thought it could be two. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I thought it could be two. Or I agree with the person who told you in the organization. I thought it could be two. And I just figured, I was like, well, I guess I got it wrong because everybody seemed to disagree. But if somebody in the organization is saying that, it's like, and it's not like, hey, I'm sure there is a respect there to some level. I'm not sure, because I know that coaches, they can be close, but they can also snipe each other and be very nasty to each other, especially in the NFL. However, like, I think you think about it, if you're Mike Tomlin, you're going to go, well, you wanted Kenny Pickett. Fine, you got Kenny Pickett. Then you traded Kenny Pickett. He knew that for a fact. Then you start Joe Flacco, and then less a month later, you trade the guy again. I thought that maybe Mike Tomlin could put himself there and go, well, that's not even fair. You don't even have the veterans there that you want to bring your young quarterbacks along, right? Like, if you needed Dylan Gabriel to take a breather, you could put in Bailey Zappe? No, you're going to go right to Shedeur Sanders. And if Dylan needs a breather, am I that confident? And you can tell by the play calling right now, am I that confident that Dylan Gabriel can get everything done? Okay, well, can we be even more conservative with Shedeur Sanders? No. So it sets your young guys up for failure in that sense by making that trade.
Which, again, Kevin can't say that. So maybe Mike is saying that for him. And again, they don't necessarily have to be best friends. And yes, NFL head coaches are incredibly competitive with each other. But it's also a very, very small club. No one, it's in that club that you understand the scrutiny, the stress, the pressure, the desire to teach and coach and help men, but also how much you need to win, and the assault from sports talk radio and what your kids are hearing at school and how you have to be a dad to manage that, all of that. So obviously Mike Tomlin has empathy for what Kevin Stefanski is going through. And obviously coaches get tagged with things that they really have nothing to do with. And they're the ones that have to stand up every single week and answer the questions and deal with the fans, the media's angst, essentially, because the media is often repeating the fans' angst. And so, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, if that's what you're saying. I don't think so at all. And I could definitely see that part of it is a tweak, part of it is his own irritation. And I believe what this person told me. I think part of it is probably standing up for Kevin a little bit. Because even as Kevin is being ripped here, you know, you just said, like, oh, he's a so-called offensive genius. Why has his offense not scored more than 17 points? Well, what is he working with here?
I totally agree. Can I ask you one thing? Because we're up against it already. I couldn't even realize we're already up against it. I'm sorry, Aditi. However,
we'll talk this weekend.
That's true. That is true. We will talk on the pregame show. Aditi, if they hand the ball off to Quinshon Judkins more than 15 times, this is a win, right, for the Browns?
You'd have to think. You're seeing another team that's in complete and total disarray right now. So, I mean, on a day like that's supposed to be as nasty as it is in the AFC North with a reeling team that has for years has struggled to be anything but labeled as anything but soft, you should be able to run the ball.
Aditi, I love it. We thank you very much for the time. We'll see you on Sunday. We'll talk to you on Sunday. All the best.
Sounds great.
Nick! What's I missed you, Nick. It's been a whole week, man.
Oh, yeah. listen, it's a, you know, today's the first day, actually, at least in the Northeast, where it actually feels like football weather outside. Like, where I think we're 48 this morning, maybe in like the low 50s now. But yeah, we're getting there, man. It's football. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Tell them, Jeff.
We got a 1-5 showdown.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Tell them how the weather's off by a month. Tell them. Tell them your theory.
Everything has shifted 3 or 4 weeks, Nick. So, you know, fall doesn't really hit until mid-October.
Well, there is no fall anymore.
That's kind of true. Right. Although we've certainly had a beautiful end of summer here in Northeast Ohio.
It was summer. Like, it's been summer here in New York basically until like last week. Like, I absolutely, like, you know, like, I'm going to make a bad global warming joke here. Like, I kind of love it. Like, awesome. Yeah. Like September felt like July. It was great.
Just keep the snow away. That's,
I remember seeing a bumper sticker years ago. It said Chicago favors global warming.
I do.
We understand that. We have the, you can call it the hot seat bowl. We have the 1-5 bowl, whatever it is. You have Mike McDaniel, Kevin Stefanski, and their 1-5 football teams playing this week in Cleveland. Who do you like and why?
All right. So I bet Miami 2 days ago. I bet +3. That is not the point spread anymore. Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 39.5. So, you know, Miami is obviously like an absolute disaster. Like, the coach is a dead coach walking. The general manager is dead GM walking. The quarterback is absolutely clueless and not playing well. And they're screwed as an organization because they can't, like, actually, like, feasibly get out of his contract until the end of next year. And, like, I think he's totally shot, Tua. Like, I think he's proven that he's not, like a winning franchise quarterback, but they paid him like one. So they're in trouble. And obviously making stupid comments in post-game pressers that he has to walk back, and it's just a total circus. But with all of that said, and to all the Browns fans out there, like, I'm going to say what I'm about to say with a lot of confidence, because I am confident. But, like, I can be wrong. I can be wrong about this. I think I'm going to be right. Dylan Gabriel can't be a 3-point favorite in an NFL game. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm curious if you guys agree with my assessment of this. Now, I ended up, like, having, like, Steelers in some money line parlays that I did last weekend. I did not lay the points with the Steelers. But we all watched the game. So I have, like, no personal involvement in it. Like, the Steelers were going to win the game no matter what. Like, they killed them in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
In all seriousness, how many passes that Dylan Gabriel threw did the Steelers drop? That he threw right to them. Like, how many interceptions did the Steelers drop last week? It was like 5, right? Am I exaggerating?
I think that's a little heavy.
Yeah,
but there were some, no question.
Three or four?
Apparently, he throws such a hot ball.
Yeah,
neither the Steelers nor the Browns can catch it.
Well, I mean, the reason why he throws the ball so hard is because he doesn't trust his arm. Like his arm's not strong enough.
I've got to argue with you on that, Nick. All of the rankings and all of the draft combine stuff shows the guy has a strong arm. Now, whether he knows where it's going, you can make that argument.
He launched like a 50. I know he has no official turnovers, but at the half last week, they tried a Hail Mary, and he threw that ball 50 yards in the air. 55 yards in the air at the end of the half. So, yeah, I don't know.
Just, so I'll give you my opinion.
Okay.
I think that he will be a backup quarterback, and there's something to be said for that. I'm not trying to, like, crap on the guy. I mean that sincerely. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think I think he's miscast in this role. But we talked about that before the year, that this is what the season was going to be. Like, Shadur's going to play at some point for the Browns. Like, Bailey Zappe might play at some point for the Browns this year. Like, that's what this season's going to be. I don't think Dylan Gabriel's good enough to be a 3-point favorite in an NFL game. Now, if you want to construct an argument that he doesn't matter in the game because Quinshon Judkins is going to run for 120 yards and Myles Garrett and company are going to destroy the Dolphins' offensive line, like, that's a fair argument to be made, and it absolutely could happen. I am making the bet solely because I don't think the quarterback on the other side is good enough to merit a point spread like this. So I bet the Miami Dolphins. I bet them +3. Mm. That I would not bet +2.5. I need 3 to bet the Miami Dolphins guys on Sunday.
Mm. I think we would all agree. Facts and history outweigh hope, in my estimation. And so with that
in mind... Sounds like you like Dylan Gabriel.
No. With that in mind, I think you're hard pressed to think that Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders is your franchise quarterback here in Cleveland.
There's no chance.
That's what we're thinking. You're going to draft one next year.
100. I said that with you guys in August, right, or before the season started.
We said it, and you said it as soon as they made the trade and traded down from 2.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's just, I think it's pretty. and like you guys know this, you agree with me, right? I don't even think it's an argument. Like Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth round, and look, it's preseason. Like what Shedeur did in that third preseason game against like backups, I think it was like six completions and six sacks taken in a preseason game. Like it's not good. And I'm not trying to say like he can't be on an NFL roster or he's going to be bad. We haven't seen him play, but like let's call a spade a spade. The Browns franchise quarterback of the future is not on the roster right now.
I would agree.
So, I don't even think, and if it is like they're in big trouble. Now look, they're 1-5,
or they're gonna get really lucky, and which is possible.
And I think it's more likely to happen with Shedeur than it is with Gabriel. Gabriel higher floor, Shedeur. So like, Dylan Gabriel's less likely to embarrass you, but Shedeur I think is more likely to reach like big heights at some point in his career. But look, like they're 1-5. They're going to be starting two quarterbacks who shouldn't be starting likely the rest of the year. They're going to be in contention for the number one overall pick, and they have Jacksonville's first round pick. Now, the Jags are 4-2, but they're 3-point dogs this weekend in London against the Rams. They could be 4-3. They could have two, their pick's going to be a top five pick. Let's see where Jacksonville's is. And if there's a quarterback that they really like, maybe it's Indiana's Mendoza, like we'll see what this is. Like you've got ammunition to be able to trade up to get your guy. So this season, like I said with you guys, can the young players on the roster show that they are, you know, cornerstones that you can build an organization on? The good news is, I think the answer to that question is absolutely yes. And then you get your quarterback next year, and you're cooking with gas in like 2 years. So I actually think the Browns are on the right track here. I just don't think it happens this Sunday against Miami or this year.
Tonight's game fascinates me just because of the two quarterbacks. So Pittsburgh, Cincinnati tonight. What do you like, and what don't you like?
I just, you know, I'm 42 now, and I don't often get to, like, look at the TV and say, hey, man, there's, like, two guys my age starting quarterback in the NFL playing a game. So the Steelers, guys, are 5.5-point road favorites at Cincinnati. The total in the game has been bet up. We're now at 44.5. So directionally, we've gone up through 44, which is one of the key numbers when you talk about totals, and that's not a math thing. Just think about the scoring of the NFL, 3-7, 41, 44, 47 are the three numbers that really matter with totals. So going through 44 matters. It means this is expected to be a higher scoring game than average right now with the betting market. So Cincinnati is starting to draw betting interest, right? And you guys as Browns fans and like and people that live in Cleveland know this, right? That historically with Mike Tomlin, this is a spot where the Steelers fall flat. Like, decent-sized road favorite coming off a win. Expectations are high. And we've seen them. Like, it happened a lot in the Roethlisberger years. Like, they lose games like this, right? If I had to bet the game, I'd actually bet the Steelers. I think Cincinnati is big time up against it. The offensive line stinks. The defense stinks. It stinks with Trey Hendrickson, and he's unlikely to play in the game. I think Pittsburgh might wreck them. Now, don't think I'm going to bet the game, but just saying, if I had to bet the game, I would bet the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you would like, I can give you a series of prop bets for tonight's game.
Oh, do it. Let's hear it.
Okay. A yardage prop, and then I'm going to give you three, like, not wacky, but, like, down the board anytime touchdown.
Wait, is there an over-under on ARP commercials during the game? Keep going. Sorry.
They might have to up it with Rodgers and Flacco under center. DK Metcalf's yardage prop is 64.5. The Bengals are not going to be able to rush the passer. Like, they don't have their best pass rusher. I think Rodgers is going to have all day and is just going to pick them apart. And Metcalf's been an absolute stud. I'll go over DK Metcalf receiving yards. It is a square public bet. And guess what? Like, sometimes the public wins. And I think it will tonight with Metcalf. As far as anytime touchdowns go, so I'm just going to bring the market up here. And I'm going to tell you briefly why I like these bets. Let's start with Pat Freiermuth, okay, who has kind of been relegated to Pittsburgh's number three tight end behind hulking 6'7" Darnell Washington.
That's
and
huge.
Jonnu Smith. Yeah, he's so good too.
He's fun to watch, yeah.
He's like a starting left tackle who can also catch the ball.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's awesome. Now Freiermuth plays less than those two guys. But per Nathan Yonke, who covers this stuff, usage for Pro Football Focus, and he does amazing work for people that like this kind of stuff, Pat Freiermuth plays when the Steelers are in three wide receiver sets, which means that on downs where they're throwing the ball, he's out there. And those are valuable snaps, obviously. Mm-hmm. Freiermuth is third among Steelers tight ends on the board to score a touchdown tonight. So let's play Pat Freiermuth at +625. Let's also take a look at Caleb Johnson. He's Pittsburgh's rookie running back. If you remember in week 2, the ball went over his head on a kick return. Seattle recovered in the end zone. He was sent to the doghouse, hasn't been seen really much, except coming out of the bye last week, he was pretty involved in this offense, you know, against Cleveland. He had 6 carries in the game. So I think we're going to see this start to become a 3-man backfield with Warren, Gainwell, and Caleb Johnson. So the anytime touchdown bets, these are small money bets to win more. He's plus 750. Caleb Johnson, anytime touchdown. And last one, the Bengals have 2 tight ends that are out for tonight's game. Mike Gesicki is on injured reserve, and Tanner Hudson is out with a concussion. Drew Sample is 13-1 to score a touchdown, runs a lot of routes, and caught 2 catches last week from Joe Flacco. So Drew Sample, Caleb Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, they're not favorites, so like none of them could score. So a little to win a lot. We hit one of them, we profit, and the DK Metcalf over receiving yards.
Nick, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. It should be noted, we've been kind of keeping tabs on the Tua Tagovailoa situation, where after the loss to the Chargers, which in fairness, this Tua speaking the way he did, which I appreciate because it's real. I do appreciate it. But it was after a loss where they had maybe played their best game in a couple weeks and just happened to lose on a last second kick to Dicker the kicker. And Tua came out and basically talked about the culture in Miami, about the fact that there were players not showing up for players-only meetings that he called, and basically hinted at bigger cultural issues. Then Tua has defended that. Then Mike McDaniel came out and took offense to that. So Tua today, in his media availability, took another shot at explaining his meetings and showing up late, his teammates showing up late for different practices and meetings earlier today.
As a leader of this team, of the Miami Dolphins, you know, the comments that had been said, I would say I've made a mistake. I'm owning up to that right now. You know, I've talked to guys on the team about it, talked to the leaders about it, and they know my heart. They know that the intent was right, but no matter the intent, you know, the intent can be right, but when things get misconstrued or however the media wants to portray it, you know, that leaves a void of silence and a lot of questions for the guys on our team. Now, being 1-5, you know, we talk a lot about, all right, we got to get this going. We got to get this going. Come in excited to go to work. Forget about the noise. And I feel like I just added on to that for our guys.
I genuinely like Tua, and I think he's a better quarterback than he's given credit for.
Mm-hmm.
He had it. It was right there. It's right there in the palm of his hand.
He started off pretty strong.
I was wrong. I spoke to the other teammates and the other leaders on this ball club, and you know, I let it be known, and even to the point where he was like, what was the last little bit he said there before he really went off the...
Oh, he just added on to the noise for the guys.
But people know... People know my heart. They know what I mean.
The intent was right.
And the intent was right. Stop right there and you're fine. But then when you give it to the media, it's like, no, it wasn't taken out of context. You said something. Own it.
Yeah, nothing was misconstrued. And I think that probably, so at the heart of this Dolphin situation is Tua doesn't know how to be a leader. Mike McDaniel doesn't really know how to be a leader.
Yeah.
And it just, that's where it falls apart. I mean, I've always thought that quarterback, head coach, GM, those are the 3 most important parts of a team. And if 2 of those guys don't know what the hell they're doing when it comes to being a leader, you don't have a chance. How many what?
How many of them?
No. We're not doing that again. That was your thing.
2 of them?
That's your
Tua of them?
Oh, no, I'm trying to make it seem like that was my joke. That was,
Mac, did he also make that joke that earlier in this hour?
No, I mocked you is what I did.
I don't believe that was a mocking. I believe that was a bit embracing.
No, I mean,
that
was he a did mocking. Your joke better than you did.
Oh, don't tell Nick that. Come on now.
All right, Mac.
Come on, Mac.
Mac Robinson off the board. Yes.
Come on, Mac. Molotov cocktail that you just threw across our room here. Why'd you do that?
I blame the media.
Why'd you do
those that?
Was that misinterpreted? Was that what that was?
I think that, I mean, look, the media can interpret it however it wants to interpret
it got misconstrued, as Tua would like to say right there. Good save.
Oh, you're lucky there are cameras on us, because there's something that won't be misconstrued.
it's almost like the meanest thing you could do to you, by the way.
Say somebody else said my joke better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not great.
It's how, again,
not great.
If you were to make me rank out like the things that if I was on any given day just trying to irritate you, I think that might be number one overall. If I was like really trying to get under your skin, I think that might be, like you asked me earlier, like what bothers me, what gets under my skin. If I was trying to get under your skin, I think that play by Mac right there, that might be the top of the leaderboard of just no-nos.
I just, after hearing like a month of him and Daryl talking smack, the fact he actually said something funny was really, I was caught off guard by it. I didn't know you had that in you, little buddy.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew. All right, guns down, Costner.
Break, good. Dolphins stink, back at it on three.
Mac, I love you. That being said, can I say something, and I don't know how it's going to
If they beat the Browns with this week, by the way, with the way that this week has gone for them, their building's on fire right now.
Yeah.
Nobody takes them seriously.
Is this like if...
They're the laughing stock of the NFL.
Do we catch the on-fire building from them if they beat you after this?
Yes, then we turn into the little puppy with the coffee mug and the fire around him saying, this is fine. This is not fine for the Dolphins.
You know what's going to happen, though, if they do... They're going to say...
They're going to say there's a rallying cry?
We needed it.
Yeah, no.
They needed that
nonsense.
Thing.
Yeah, absolute nonsense.
No, you're right, but it's exactly what's going to happen. Can I make a constructive criticism of Tua that I don't mean in a mean way, but it's going to sound mean when I say it?
Sure.
There's a little bit of Russ Wilson to him.
Oh.
There's just a little bit. Just a guy that's... I don't think it was ever corny with Russ. I think people thought he was fake. I think his teammates thought he was fake. And in the NFL...
I think the term was cornball. I just went with corny.
Yeah. But I think in the NFL, you can be a lot of things. You can be corny. You can be silly. You can be Jameis with all his weird, goofy, you know, Martian-like tendencies. But if you're fake, I don't think there's any coming back from fake.
Fake's not good. But and also, though, it's been a weird spot. Like, he's been trying to balance... The idea that Tyreek Hill is just off the reservation and has been for years.
And that's like, true. That's we're talking Antonio Brown level cuckoo.
It's really hard to try to keep the reins in on Tyreek Hill. Like that's a tough task for any team to take on. And clearly the Dolphins weren't that team. And if you, what's always so funny to me is when they ask like, who the leaders are on that team and who's the people that should be in charge and the people that were like Mike McDaniel named six captains before the season got underway. Like Tua wasn't one of those captains. Tyreek wasn't one of those captains. They made a big deal about it. It was weird how the very best players just aren't asked to be anything on that squad.
Hmm. Reminds me of like, so you're saying your highest paid best players aren't your leaders?
Yes.
Cannot relate.
Exactly. That's weird. It's weird when that happens.
Yeah, weird. It feels very familiar, but I don't
know. It does. It should.
Now, can I tell you something? For everything that I've just said about Tua, I think if you made him the Browns quarterback this last offseason, if by some way he had become the Browns quarterback, I think they're 3-3 right now. And I think they're a very competitive 3-3, so games like the Ravens and Lions didn't turn into blowouts.
Well, I mean, Tua is everything that Stefanski wants Dylan Gabriel to be.
Mm-hmm. Like, shut up and throw.
Shut up and throw, but also, I mean, incredibly accurate in a way that Dylan Gabriel isn't.
And
like, Tua led the league in completion percentage just last year. Like, he's incredibly accurate in a way, like Shador levels of accuracy, while also then thrown with the idea that, you know, he does everything else that Dylan Gabriel tries to do just better.
Browns fans are immediately going to jump to, well, he's got better weapons. It's like he's had half a season without Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle's nice, but he's not a number one wide receiver. Achane is a very fast player, but not a consistent player. He's Lamar Miller 2.0.
I like him a lot, though. I think he's good.
And their offensive line, I think, is not, it's not Browns bad. Browns bad is because of the situation as well. And they don't have this defense. I think just Tua with that defense could do a lot of real damage. And it's crazy that I'm saying that because I think Tua, at best, he's what we've said about Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and Baker Mayfield at various points in their careers.
I mean, it's not like this thing has gone horribly for him. Like, yes, in the pantheon of should they have drafted him above of Justin Herbert, that answer is obviously no and will be 11 times out of 10. But the Dolphins have been able to win games with Tua.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't been able to win playoff games. We've talked before about the one playoff game they did in Kansas City where it was freezing temperatures and people legitimately lost fingers to frostbite. Tua can't play in that weather. Tua doesn't play. This is where he wouldn't work for the Browns. 45 degrees and under, Tua can't play.
Well, unless you just immerse him in it.
Doesn't have a single win in 45 degree and under weather.
He spends the offseason in like the North Pole.
He's just winless in his entire career in that weather.
You're not hearing it.
I'm hearing it. I don't understand how it works.
That's where I'm going. You immerse him in the Arctic temperatures.
You just set him to the North Pole?
He's thrown to penguins.
Okay.
All right? And then he comes back, and all of a sudden, it's a whole new Tua. It's a Thria.
I knew you couldn't resist it. Dolphins won. They've won 11 games 2 years ago. They were nine games. Like they, you can win with Tua. You can. You're not going to win anything of significance.
Can you win with Thria?
Right, we got to retire that joke for the rest of the week.
What would the Browns?
We got to retire that one.
Record be? That's so stupid. I can't help it. What would the Browns' record be with Tua at quarterback? I asked an incredible amount of people this question today. We asked Ashley Bastock. She said two more wins. We didn't get to it on air with Ross Tucker, but he said two more wins in our text thread. Every person I asked said they'd at least be 3-3. What would the Browns' record be if Tua had been their quarterback all season long? And again, this question's coming from a guy who doesn't think Tua is a top 10 quarterback. Bruce Arians weighs in on the Tomlin Andrew Berry fiasco in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.